Welcome back to Rerouting, When Life Takes a Turn, where our mantra is sharing releases shame. We're back again for another week of chit-chatting away about the... What are we talking about this week? Oh, you don't even know.
I don't. This is a surprise for me. I'm trying to look at the notes, but I'm like, there's so many words.
Have you ever heard the phrase soft swinging?
Huh?
Nope. Okay. And
no.
And another thing, if we have time, we're going to be talking about a recent article in, I think it was like some LDS magazine, and it's about the idea lately of tithing being optional. So. I know, scandalous.
How are they supposed to make billions?
Right? So we're going to talk about those two things. But first, soft swinging. So let's get into it. Okay, so leave it to the Mormons to come up with loopholes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is like about, hey, let's swap.
Yeah.
Kind of.
All right. So why are we even talking about soft swinging? If you haven't soft heard
soft swinging.
Yeah.
If you oh my God. Oh, that is the best thing. I'm going to use that tomorrow.
What do you?
I don't know. I'm going to figure out a way to.
Context? Are you going to use?
I don't know. Nobody knows what that means, so I'm going to use it to all kinds of things.
Well, apparently people do because I googled it and I found out some information that I'm going to share with you.
What?
But why are we even talking about it, first of all?
Because we meet some weird people that talk to us and it's like weird. Like, huh? What did you just say?
Wrong.
Right? Soft swinging us.
Soft swinging us. Don't be soft swinging me.
Mm-hmm.
I only do the hard stuff. The hard swinging.
Hardcore swinging.
Today's the June 12th, so we record, before the actual release date. So
no, today is today.
This happened.
Whatever day it is you're listening, we just made this.
And apparently, there is a group of Mormon TikTok moms, and I don't know. I've never seen any of their stuff because it's kind of out of my age range. You know, they're for like younger moms with younger kids.
Mid to late 20s.
Huh. You know, with
my
little
age
kids.
Group.
Yeah, your age group. The age group that you like.
Okay.
Okay.
Alrighty then.
So there's a group of Mormon TikTok moms that there's a scandal going on right now. And the only reason why I'm talking about it, because none of the content pertains to me. And I looked at some of the videos. They make content for young moms.
Oh, I can hear their
irritation. So they have like other... They have other... content, you know, about family life and being a young mom or whatever, you know. I don't know. I didn't watch any of it. I just saw like the pictures of the clips and I was like, yeah, I don't relate to any of these women.
Wow.
And not to be judgy, but they're just I mean, first of all, they're young. They're way younger than me. And second, they look a lot like they. How do I say this?
They look like Mormonism. High maintenance sucks for them.
They look high maintenance, right? Like nails done and hair and the makeup is flawless, and they look flawless. Right. And I don't roll that way. You know me. Like I'm not all into the makeup. You know, I'm not into the flawless look. But apparently, living in Utah and living in these communities where there's, you know, this kind of culture.
Into, like, those trophy wives.
Kinda, yeah. So I didn't watch all the videos, but I did find this interesting because it goes along with the whole idea of being a Mormon, right? And finding those loopholes or finding a way that works for you to be Mormon. Because, you know, Mormonism is really strict. So the Mormon mom who has the scandal going on. Her name is Taylor. Taylor, what's her name?
Frankie Paul.
Yeah. So her name is Taylor Frankie Paul. She's a TikTok mom in Utah. And she recently admitted that her and her husband are getting a divorce. And then, long story short, she admitted that it was because they were soft swinging in their friend group. So I was like, soft swinging. I mean, I can imagine maybe what that means. Do you have any idea without looking?
Oh.
You already looked, didn't you?
I didn't already. I'm trying to right now.
Do you have any idea of what that might mean?
I don't. Well, what I would think of Mormon like would be like with their garments on and sheets in between and not like not really doing it. But going
not really in, touching. That would make way more sense.
But like going
to me.
Through the actions with somebody else's husband or wife.
Like interpretive dance.
Yeah, like no penetration. It's just like the act of it. That's what I would figure soft swinging being is, you know, because I don't know. Because like I'm planning to be shocked. I don't know. I'm trying to figure
You're
out.
Close.
Is there any penetration?
But that would make more sense. Not even touching or having a sheet even.
Because like soft swinging crazy. Would be like not. Not swing like I would figure that would be like no penetration,
right?
Soft, hard swinging is like yeah we're trading, yeah we're trading and she's gonna do stuff that.
Okay, I get it. You don't have to go into detail.
Right, you know, I'm just saying.
So apparently, according to Taylor, there is a group of her friends that are also TikTok moms, and they. There's like maybe five couples or something involved.
Yeah, let's get to
and
it already.
They they were doing this. Soft swinging, and they had rules, right? Just like with regular swinging.
You can't fall in love.
Just like with regular swinging, there usually are rules. Couples come up with their own rules, and it's whatever you decide. Because I did some research on what swinging was and stuff, because I, you know. And so apparently, like, as a couple, you come up with your own rules that you're both comfortable with, whatever they are. They could be as you know, strict or as loose as you want them as a couple. It's really
loose.
Individual. So they're
I think they need to be a little loose since, you know, you're loosening up the reins a little bit, you know, can loosen the bedroom.
I don't know.
Well, no, I'm just, you were read about it, not me.
So they're a group of friends. They were involved in soft swinging. And the rule apparently with Taylor and her husband was that the swinging only happened if they both partners were there, right? Like it was, you can't go off on your own and do your own swinging without your partners, without each person's
like
partner
in the
there.
Same room.
Or at least knowing about it or whatever. And so that was the rule, was there had to be communication about it. There was no meeting up without the other partner not knowing. And apparently that's what the girl, the wife. Met up with one of her friend's husbands and they had an affair without the other spouses knowing.
So is it about consent or just about the knowing?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, like how is it consent if you're telling the person after?
Well, I mean,
that's
what
just
I'm saying.
Cheating.
Is it consent though, really?
What do you mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying is like, you know, was that the deal? Like, hey, we're going to go to a...
No, I'm saying they didn't let anybody know. They just did it secretly.
Like a bunch secretly, not just
I
like
guess
one.
Like a month or so this affair went on.
I mean, if they got such an open, like, I don't understand why you'd be like, hey, so.
You don't understand. Okay, so here. So it's like this. Let's say.
I mean, like you're already fucking other people.
But like, here's the thing.
Okay.
Here's the distinction. They weren't, as far as I know, they weren't having sex with anyone else. It was soft swinging. So it was doing everything but penetration is basically
Okay.
Well, so there's two definitions.
I didn't know that. I just assumed that's what.
What?
I was right with the undergarments. They keep.
Well, so I saw pictures of this lady and she doesn't wear garments.
Nailed it.
She doesn't wear garments. The clothes that she wears, they're like you can't wear garments with them. So I'm assuming they didn't go to the temple, or if they did, she just doesn't wear her garments. I don't know, but she doesn't wear garments in her pictures on TikTok. Soft swinging, it's basically, so there's two definitions, right? So one definition is engaging in sexual activity with your partner while other couples are in the same room, but not swapping or sharing partners. So that's one definition. And the other one, which I think is what pertains to this situation that we're talking about, is a form of swinging that means you don't have intercourse with the other person, but everything else is on the table. Everything else on the table. You can touch and whatever. You just can't have penis, vagina, sex, I guess. There was no specific details, I'm just assuming. So they were doing this.
So she didn't give like, oh, we're doing soft swinging A.
I don't know.
Or category B.
Your guess is as good as mine.
We were in the category B section of swapping.
Okay, so, but being Mormon, I mean, to me, like, if you're a Mormon, none of this would be okay. You would just know that it's not okay. Because
really?
You're not,
have
yeah.
Have you seen the one where the guy was married to, like, 9 wives and stuff that was
yeah.
Mormon?
Yeah, I did.
You know about that whole thing, right?
If you're a practicing Mormon today, I would say that touching someone else's wife's boobs or anything else would be a no-no, even if your husband is okay with it.
But are you...
According to Mormon standards.
Aware of any of that still existing anywhere else? Culture of... Is that just a TV show? Is just like a one-off? Like, oh, one...
Polygamy are you talking
yeah.
about? Oh, no, there are Mormon...
Like colonies of that?
Yeah, but they're not Mormon. They're not affiliated with the mainstream Mormon. They're like off branches or shoot...
Yeah, but they still consider themselves like Mormons.
They consider themselves like fundamentalist Mormons.
Right, so, but, yeah. you know...
They think that the mainstream Mormon church is wrong.
Right, so they're kind of like how, like, all churches are.
Yeah.
you know, they're like, basically. Yeah, everybody else got it all wrong.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But this Jesus
this
rules.
This is not polygamy. This is just...
Well, yeah, I know. But I mean, I
spouse
figured...
Spouse sharing.
You know, if you get in that or you're in a society that already has that mentality of that, I don't, you know.
Mm. But Mormons, mainstream Mormons don't believe that, though. That's like a no-no. You don't have more than one wife. You don't have sex with someone else's wife or husband. And you certainly, like, not being married... You certainly do not touch any of the no-no places, you know. Consider the bathing suit, where the bathing suit's covered, that you don't touch any of those areas.
Those Mormon babies bathing suits
yes.
that have, like, no belly showing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't, basically, you can't touch from the shoulders.
You can touch my shoulders and my elbows.
To the knees. Actually, yeah.
The
bathing suits with gloves and shit.
Another side to the story I found while I was researching was one of the moms.
How old is the story?
Like last week it happened.
Oh, what? Fresh.
So one of the moms like wrote into, I don't know, some columnist and was like, let me set the record straight. It wasn't the mom who's been making the big, you know, splash. People think that maybe she's doing it for attention to get more TikTok followers. I don't know. But one of the moms in the friend group anonymously wrote in and was like, this is not what happened. She's making it up. None of us were swingers. We didn't do that. She had an affair on her husband and then made up this story so that she wouldn't look bad. Like everybody in the group was doing a little bit of something shady, you know?
Right.
So I don't know which is true, but these are the two sides of the story. What is known is that she did have an affair. Okay, with one of her friend's husbands. And now both of those couples are getting divorced. And they do have two kids, young kids, under the age of like 5 or something. So the interesting thing is,
that's
as
what I'm
I was
wondering is, like, you know, like if everybody was swinging and everything, how do you get busted? You know, like, I don't know.
Because there are rules. Just because you're having, like, that is the basis. Like, I told you I did research on
right.
swinging, right? Like, the original swinging, not the soft swinging. But
oh,
it's the same for both. You have rules. There's rules. It's not just a free-for-all whatever, right? Every couple goes in and they have rules that they've agreed upon. So if you and I were going to decide to swing, you and I would sit down and we would talk about, okay, this is okay. This is not okay. I'm not okay with it. And then you would have to agree to adhere to those rules. And then if someone else, like let's say there was another couple involved, they would have to agree to your rules as well. Otherwise, you don't engage with them. You find another couple that will, you know, that will
how
agree
do you
to your rules.
Put the resume out there like that.
Well,
like,
right? There's a whole group. Like I just typed in, you know, our city and then like swing group,
like,
or something.
Really? Us? Like our city?
Our city, yeah. And all this stuff came up and I was like, oh, because I was like, how easy is it to do this? Like these people are just, you know. But yeah, it's a total culture.
Oh, I bet we're going to go and it's going to be like selling all kinds of like yard swings.
I bet we're not going to go.
I didn't mean it like we're gonna, like I wanted, like I'm damn. Like, you always do that with words.
The actual the actual definition of swinging, which has been around for a while and became popular, like really popularized in the 60s with Free Love, right? You know? Yeah. But that is, it's some kind, sometimes called
the good old days.
The good old days, yeah. It's sometimes called wife swapping, husband swapping, or partner swapping. And it's a sexual activity in which both singles and partners in a committed relationship sexually engage with others for recreational purposes. There are groups and stuff, you know, in every city, probably.
You say you know, like I know about all this.
Well, okay, well, I'm telling you.
I can hear you
I
now.
Did the research, and there are groups. And it's all up to the couple. So some couples engage in full intercourse with other people, other couples. Some, they, you know, it's all what you're comfortable with. Some, it's just foreplay, I guess, for lack of a better word. You know, so it's whatever you decide as a couple.
Yeah, so.
But the majority.
But what is, like, the most, I mean.
Most common?
Yeah. I mean, because I figured some the limited ones would be the newbies.
Not necessarily.
I don't know.
I found a website, and it was a couple that they were both like psychologists, and they were swingers, and they created this website. It was for swingers, and it had.
Is it the breakthrough?
No. What? It had a lot of information about people who were starting out, and like you know how you can make this work for your relationship and that sort of thing. So they had a lot of good information, and apparently they'd been doing it for a long time, like 20 years or something.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so they had polled the people that came to their website or were members of their website, and the majority of swingers are between the ages of 40 and 45. Yeah, because their kids are, you know, older. They don't have little kids. And what they said on the website was that they, like, there's a lot less health problems, such as erectile dysfunction or things like that, or just other health problems, right? So that, I guess, the sweet spot
the
for
sweet
the
spot
age
is 40 to 45.
Yeah, 40. Well, 40 to 50, right?
Oh, so we at least got like 5 more years. All
right, right, apparently. Apparently people that have been married a long time or in a committed relationship and they're in their 40s, they want to spice up their relationship. Now, the one thing, the overall, I think, consistent rule in all of the websites and people, couples that were talking about it was the communication, right? Like you have to communicate with your partner. That was number one. About expectations and rules and things. And then number two was if your relationship is in trouble, then swinging is not going to help. So they were like, it's for couples who are in a healthy, committed, you know, open relationship. But if you're going into it thinking, I'm tempted to cheat on my spouse, so maybe swinging will help. Like, that's not a good way to go into it, I guess. I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah, this is all new to me. I'm just absorbing. I'm like, this whole world of like shit you don't know about.
Right? Well, so obviously there's always two sides to every story. But from what I read, for the people that it works for, the swingers that this lifestyle works for, it improved their relationship. They had a higher amount of happiness. And as you can imagine, there's not a lot of studies done, right? So there's not a lot of statistics. But the statistics that I found come from websites that are like swinger websites. So they would poll their community and say, how happy are you guys?
And
you know,
sift
what's your
the bad ones and be like, yeah, whatever, Jane.
I mean, there's always the
you don't go all the way.
There's always the downside, right? Out of the problems that were listed, that had a higher percentage than any other one was the jealousy. And it came from mostly women. I mean, I can understand that. There's a lot of insecurities as a woman, especially around sexuality. And it takes a lot to kind of work through those. But to each his own. I mean, if it works for their relationship and it makes their marriage or their committed relationship happier, like, who am I to judge? You know, if it works for them, it works for them. I don't find it gross or anything. Like, they're consenting adults. That's the thing, right? Like, if they're all consenting adults, then hey, do you, boo. You know, I personally, I don't think that that's for me.
Don't knock until you try it.
I don't. Tell you what. I don't see myself ever having that urge to be like, hey, let's.
We'll talk about that in a later episode. this swinger episode that we have.
Dun dun. We come back. A swinger episode.
So
our experience with the swinging community. Oh God.
Undercover. Literally.
But you know, like I said, it works for some people. It could be healthy and help their relationship, and others, it destroys their marriage. Like what we're talking about today, right? With this young couple, I think the main thing to point out was that they were doing okay, I guess, when they were all consenting to the swinging or the soft swinging, but then it became not okay when they were doing it behind, you know, their spouse's back.
And is this where the shunning comes from? Like, no, we weren't doing this. You're crazy.
Well,
and she's like, no, I'm not crazy. We were all doing it.
If you're a Mormon, you, even though you might be able to justify that it's not cheating, you still don't want your bishop to know, right? So, of course, if it did happen, they are going to deny it. They're not going to want any their bishops to know, right? Because there's going to be repercussions. Say,
hey, I heard this thing about you.
Yeah, I saw this TikTok.
I know what you've done. Now you're going to do me a favor.
Oh my God. That's so gross.
All right. Bishop so wins.
There was research done involving just over 1,000 individuals that were swingers. And around 80 to 90% of the participants say that they were happier after engaging in a swinging lifestyle. Maybe open marriages work. Like I said, I think that they might work if there's communication about it. But you got to have a special kind of relationship, right?
Yeah.
You got to trust each other. I don't know. But
I mean, you got to be like, I guess you got to be loyal.
You got to respect your partner.
Yeah, and you always got to know, like, the grass is never greener on the other side, ever. Back lawn's all fucking shitty.
I don't know what that means.
Well, like, I don't, like when you have
the back lawn. Does this have to do with anal?
No. It's just that, you know, it's like when you think about what you've developed in a relationship with somebody, like how you and I have, like, I don't know. Like, it's that whole start over thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that starting over process and having...
laying the foundation. It takes a lot of time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's... Yeah. I'm like, how... I don't know. I'd be mad as hell if we were all swingers and then we're like, I'm mad at you for swinging. I'm like, what?
But that's not what happened. Oh. Right? Like, you understand what happened, right?
Yeah.
Like, she went behind... Even though they had agreed... In a group.
I get it. But.
Right? And then they went outside. They broke the rules because the rules were don't meet outside of our swinging group when we're all together, let's say. Right?
Right.
Then these two, they decided to fuck those rules. And they went outside of that. And them two, they just met up and had an affair. So it was an affair at that point because neither spouse knew about it. And they were sneaking around.
Right.
Now, there was a report one of the moms had said, this is what actually happened.
Yeah.
Taylor and the husband of her friend wanted to have an affair. And so in order to
make swinging,
they tried to get their friend group into this whole swinging thing. Right. And that's where it started. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that was another.
Yeah, like which one's true?
I don't know. Who knows? Only they know.
But the headline is that everybody was swinging, though,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Because that's what Taylor said. Everybody was swinging and having a grand old time.
She was just busted first.
It's just so interesting to me, the loopholes that Mormons. So this is the thing. It's interesting because Mormons, you know what they say about innovation or, you know, creativity. It's born out of necessity right? So you have this group of young kids, right? They're kids. They're in their late 20s.
Right.
They have no life experience. They get married early, probably in their early
20s. And they're locked
in. And they've only been with one person, right? Uh-huh. And I mean, I get that that could be a beautiful thing, but also it could be a damaging thing for them too. It just depends on the person, right? And so they want excitement. They want something different. They, you know, and this is their loophole. Because in Mormonism, obviously, marriage is this huge commitment, right? It's an eternal commitment. And so how do you get out of that? So they came up with this creative way to explore, you know, other avenues sexually, I guess. Sounds but swinging. Without, yeah, without breaking too many rules.
Because it doesn't sound so harsh.
Right. Like he was just touching over the shirt.
That's all that we were doing was just rubbing.
Even then, though,
other.
Even then, if you're a TBM, touching anything is grounds for going in and talking to your bishop. I mean, really, if you want to, you know. So I don't know how they can justify this soft swinging.
All right, because so
maybe
they weren't having sex
kissing.
Though, right?
Right. Allegedly, they were not having sex. But then Taylor and this other person, apparently they did. They went off and they had sex and they had an affair. Yes. But the soft swinging, the group was not having sex. They were just doing other things. And I read as I was researching, apparently this is something that is not uncommon in Utah with all of these young Mormon couples. Like it's not just this group. Like
okay,
people,
you guys want to get up Saturday and you know, like rub each other, you know, rub a dub dub
between the sheets,
six men in a tub.
And honestly, I don't know. I can't wrap my mind around how a TBM would think that this is okay. Now, I might be able to think, okay, if they're just kissing, if the couples are just kissing each other's spouses, but touching in any way to me is like, no, you would, if you're a TBM, no, you would feel guilty. You would feel like you had to go talk to your bishop.
So which side is pushing for it is what I'm wondering. Like who's like, you know, when it comes to like pulling the relationship, are the ladies just like doing what the husbands say or is it the women getting together and being
in this case? I think it was the wife. Well, at least one of them, the one who wanted to sleep with her best friend's husband.
Just like, so, what are you guys doing Saturday? Have you ever heard of SS?
You know what? You can touch because I have a padded bra on, so it's not even, it doesn't even count.
There's rules. That's right.
These are the kinds of loopholes. It's like we talked about
pairs
soaking.
Of panties on.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we talk about soaking?
Yes, we did.
And that's
I
a Mormon
about
thing.
That.
That's like something that was born out of Mormon.
And don't move?
Yeah.
Is that real, though?
I don't know. I don't know if it's an urban legend, but I've heard about it. And to me, that's like ridiculous. That's
sex.
Yeah, that's sex. There's penetration. There's no like, yeah.
It sounds like somebody got caught and got
and they're
super
like,
gullible
what?
And they're just telling the story like,
it's
this
not,
is the
it
thing.
Count.
Some
they
guy
told
was
me
like,
no,
oh, it's okay. Yeah. He said, if he just leaves it in there, it's not losing your virginity.
Oh my gosh.
He stayed there for like,
but
for
how,
2 hours.
But here's the thing. How awkward, though, to have to go into your bishop and be like, if you had sex, you could just be like, we had sex. And you wouldn't have to go into detail. You might have to say, the bishop might ask you, well, how many times did you have sex? You know, and then you could tell him. But if it's anything other than sex, then you have to go into detail. What are you going to do? Draw a picture? Okay, so this is what we were doing. You know, like you would have to tell him.
He's like, touch me where you touched him. Come here, little girl.
No.
That's what it sounds like.
But you would have to
shut that door.
Otherwise,
the one without the glass.
Otherwise, he's like, how's he going to know what kind of punishment to give you?
You deserve a spanking. That's what you get, girl.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying that's what I think about when it comes to like church.
Gross.
Well, I mean, like, come on. Does it not exist?
So yeah. That's the soft swinging. Now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
Right. Like, when do they come up with these things?
Oh. Mormons come up with stuff because they have to figure out how to live a life.
Fucked up life.
Inside Mormonism.
Yeah, no shit.
Right? They get creative. So the next topic kind of like segues, it kind of relates to what we're talking about as far as like loopholes and stuff. So I saw a friend of mine posted on her Facebook page, maybe it was last week or the week before, about a, the writer of the article calls it trendy tithing. And it was an article written for the Latter-day Saint magazine by Joel Campbell. And this was not long ago. It was May 30th of this year. So he talks about, so basically the idea of trendy tithing is because this whole thing came out with the church having billions of dollars, right? In a, like a quote unquote like rainy day now. Fund.
What?
People are like, well, I guess, you know, the church doesn't need my money, which is interesting because I had the same thought, but this was when I was deconstructing and thinking, you know what, like I'm giving thousands of dollars to this church and like, yeah, they've got billions of dollars and it just didn't sit right with me.
Because what are they doing with it? Just sending you guys to rock the dock, some volunteer guy's house? You're like, hey, we're volunteering to have the party at my dock.
No, you have to pay for that shit.
I know, but it's at some dude's house. Like, come on, man. Like, you have to pay for that? Really?
Yeah, you got to pay for that.
How much?
I don't know. You give like a contribution for food.
Did you?
I can't remember. I think so. Probably.
Did I?
I don't know. So Joel Campbell wrote the article, and he talks about how, you know, people are not giving to the church because they have all this money. And his responses are as follows. He says,
we're going to have to stop doing good deeds.
That people who deny the, like, giving a full tithe, like a full honest tithe, they're denying the foundational blessings that are promised through tithe paying. And he refers to Malachi 3:10, which talks about, like, if you pay tithing, you'll receive so many blessings. The heavens will open up and you won't have enough room for the blessings that God's going to give you. Mm. By the look on your face. Have you ever paid tithing before? Have you ever paid a tithing?
I think I have. Uh-huh. And
to who? To where?
Oh, we did it for Elevation.
The $1 million church, you paid tithing to that $1 million flashy church.
Right, yeah.
How'd that make you feel when you gave it?
Like, what the fuck are
Did you feel good at the time? Or did you do it because your ex wanted you to?
Because the ex. You know, it's just, like, it's like at first you feel like a good, you know, like, you know, because I was going there and I was like, you know, like it's flashy, and I was like, well, yeah, it's got to be like, you know, we got to give to make this, you know, keep this going, you know. It was, but then it was just like, no, I'm just paying for this like theatrical show like every weekend. I mean, because that's the thing, it's like, you know, he's a good motivational speaker.
Uh-huh.
You know, like he's got this weird little lisp that just kind of fucks with me a little.
Did he need money for the
Like, he never got that fixed. You know how I am.
Cynical?
Is that what it's called when they have a little something wrong with them and then I just kind of like isolate that one issue?
Exploit it?
Yeah, and then like it just bothers me. Yeah. You know, like he was motivational and then like I enjoyed like his thing, but he did have I was just
so
like,
it wasn't that he was wearing $1,000 jeans. It was that
was
he had
wearing $1,000 jeans?
I don't know. I'm just assuming.
Like, I don't know.
Like these pastors of mega churches.
Right.
It's not like they live a humble lifestyle.
Right. You know, and that's where because I enjoy the flash, but I very, very, very quickly kind of see through the bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to like
But you still gave money.
Yeah, we did. You know, and it was like, but that was the thing. It was like, you know, we drop the kids off and do the and they would do their daycare kind of a thing. So it felt kind of a little bit justified, like since,
like you were getting something out of it.
Yeah, like they were watching the kids and they had to do like that whole thing while we go to church, and like because no kids were allowed in that section, like little kids. Mm. And so it was like, you know, it kind of felt like a
break. You know,
yeah, like damn straight it did. Like,
you
yeah.
dropped them off and then you guys went out to eat.
Yeah,
and then come
like,
back.
Yeah, come back. Like, hey, so, oh, church hour ended what time? Oh, yeah, we were at that. We stayed at both. We stayed at both meetings. We know how you guys do.
We're not trying to be a daycare. I wonder if they pay. Did they pay those Sunday school teachers or whatever to watch the kids? Or is it a volunteer?
I don't know. I'm assuming that everybody there got paid.
Oh, okay. Because see, like in the Mormon church, nobody gets paid.
Yeah, I know.
Volunteer.
I mean, because I know the musicians got paid like healthy wages.
Like in a ward, nobody gets paid in the ward.
Right.
So in DNC, which was written by Joseph Smith. So when I read DNC now,
what does that stand
for? Interesting. Doctrine and Covenants.
Oh, okay.
Remember, we used to call it Ren DNC. Doctrine and Covenants, written by Joseph Smith. It's revelation, quote unquote. But now when I read it, it's like all I can think is this was just Joseph Smith like telling people what he wanted them to do. So this section, it's DNC 119, verse 4 and 5, and it talks about tithing. And it says, you know, that everybody needs to pay a tenth of the interest annually, and that this will be a law, like from here on out, right? And then in verse 5, I believe, he talks about, like, everybody who is in Zion, they will be tithed, right, on their surplus, which is a little bit different how it's interpreted today. Like, I was always taught that you tithe on your income, not your surplus, right? Like, not after you pay all your bills. Mm. You tithe. They always say, I know for a fact, I've been taught. You pay tithing before you pay anything else, then you pay everything else. That's what they teach you. Wow. And this is saying something a little bit different, like you pay on your surplus. So it sounds like you pay all your bills or you feed your whatever, and then whatever is left over, you pay 10% of that. But that's not what they teach today. So anyway.
They're some serious about some tithing.
Oh, they're serious.
Every other church is like, just give what you can.
No.
You guys
there's
are like, no,
rules.
No, fuck all that noise. You got a tenth.
Yeah.
How much? Let me see your paycheck.
It's specific.
Show me your pay stubs and your bank accounts.
Right. That's what tithing settlement is for. You don't bring in your... They do a tithing settlement. They don't. You don't bring in your pay stubs or anything, but you sit down with your bishop at the end of the year and he asks you, did you pay a full tithe? And then you have to say yes or no. And if you're a true believing Mormon, of course, you're not going to lie to your bishop.
My bitch wife spent all of it.
Yeah. And then they're going to be like, okay, well, let's.
She's soft swinging.
Let's set you up with a payment plan.
What?
So you can get to the temple and get those blessings.
You can just cash app it to me.
Yeah.
Wow. Billions.
It says in this DNC that if people don't pay their tithing, then they won't be able to, quote, abide among you, which I think basically is like, get the fuck out of our Zion if you can't contribute. And
abide
then
among you.
Yeah, that was the wording that he used. And then in the temple endowment, right, you commit to dedicating your time, your talents, and everything that the Lord has blessed you with. You commit to using all of those things to build up God's church on the earth, which is obviously the Mormon church. So, you know, so you commit to like giving your money and your time and everything. But it's interesting because he calls this belief of giving to other worthy, like if you think that another, the Red Cross or whatever is a worthy place to give your tithing, your tenth, he's like, no, that's you give it to the church.
And then we take care of
that. That's
what
the scriptures say, right? Of course the scriptures are going to say that.
Of course. Because we're going to trust the Red Cross.
Because they want your money.
Yeah.
So of course they're going to be like, God said to give us, to give the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints your tenth. thus saith the Lord.
And then if you want to give something else to somebody else, you break it off of the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to give it to out of your surplus,
you can give it right to, yeah. Right.
But that tenth needs to go to the Lord. So he says he calls the belief of giving another, you know, worthy charity, your money, self-serving. And because it's not going to Christ's church, so it's self-serving. And he says we shouldn't be the ones
to
decide where our money goes. God has already told us where
He's already told us to tell you to give it to us.
Right? Isn't that enough for you?
Right. And our prophet just got a memo the other day that said,
give more.
Give more.
But the thing is like, you and your silly little mind, you think you know better than God? You think you know better than the church, the prophet? I feel like, you know what? If God is real, then he's not going to give a shit if I give my money to the church or the church organization or to the homeless man or to the Red Cross or, you know, whatever other place, as long as it's doing good. Like, I honestly believe that. But they're saying, no, that's dangerous.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
A slippery slope.
Whatever you believe might not be real.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. How do you know you're not being led astray by Satan?
Satan.
If you're still like a true believing Mormon and paying tithing, like, I feel like wholeheartedly do what feels right. It's super hard, though. The church makes it super hard to do that. And I know some people have figured out how to be Mormon in a way that works for them.
Right.
You know, by not living all of the values to a T, but I personally
coffee.
Feel like it's super hard. You have to have a lot of desire to stay in that community because you aren't able to partake, right, in certain blessings. Like, you wouldn't be able to go to the temple unless you want to lie and say, yeah, I don't drink coffee, or, you know, yeah, I pay a full tithe, you know, because those are things that are required in order to go to the temple. So if you're willing to, like, not have a temple recommend and you're okay with that, which is like the crown, the top tier of Mormonism, right, is going to the temple.
Like, only 12 of us make it here.
Yeah, well, and you can't be with your family and your kids if you don't go to the temple. So I am just like, well, then maybe maybe go to another church. Mm-hmm. Like, because
that's not very Mormon of you.
No, but like, why would you stay in a church where you're not going to be able to be the top of the top, where you're going to just settle? Why not go to a different church?
I'm going to be in purgatory, but that's okay.
But but this is where my home is. I don't get that mentality. Why stay in a church?
The same reason that you're hooked in it anyway. It's like, you're a part of this and this is what you believe is true. And this just so happens you're not the best of the best. You're just, you know, our family is in the middle tier.
But you can't be together in the middle tier, is what I'm saying.
I know, but
so why would you stay in a culture, in a church like
that? Well, the same reason you always tell me, like, they're raised to believe that, and so they're raised to accept their failures. Look at some people that you go to lunch to with that, you know, just like still believe in the madness of what we talk about on a regular basis, you know? And it's just like, wow, like, they're super involved.
Regardless,
right?
They're, you know, not
of
happy.
How ridiculous it's.
Yeah. I know. I just, yeah. I mean, you know what? Kudos to people who can not throw the baby out with bathwater when it comes to, you know, realizing the crock of shit that church is. I don't know. You know, I mean, you find a way that works for you and you find a way. I mean, I can't fault anyone for that. It's all good, I guess. I don't know. One thing that is interesting to me is, you know, the swinging mom or whatever, how involved she wants everyone to be in her life. You know, she's like posting all this stuff. It seems to me that she likes the attention and she likes the fact that everybody's interested in her life. So I don't know.
I had an affair and I'm getting a divorce.
Obviously, you don't hate the spotlight. My life's falling apart. I'm posting about it on TikTok. I don't know. Like, I don't know. We come from a different generation, so maybe it's hard for us to understand.
Right.
Like, you know, this
the relevance
mindset
of that.
Yeah. But anyway.
Like, right. Does anybody really give a shit? I mean, like.
Some people do. Yeah. And they're totally invested. You know, yeah. I mean, we're talking about it.
Well, I mean, like, we're talking shit about it, though.
Anyway, that's it for us. That is this week. The Mormon culture is never, it's
dull.
Never a dull moment in the Mormon culture, right?
Always something scandalous.
Always something crazy, and you're like, what the hell? Is that for real?
Soft swingy.
Well, it's time to wrap it up.
Wrap that shit up.
Wrap no babies. It up. Safe sex, no STDs, no babies. And we will hang out with you again next week.
Bye-bye, Onara.
Bye-bye.